Let's go to the subject of the new heaven and the new earth. And I want to read the key passage on this in Revelation 21. Let's begin there and read the first five verses. Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven, saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Brian, would you lead us to the throne of grace? Amen. Now, a couple years ago, on a Wednesday night, we did a thorough study on the subject of heaven. There were 11 messages. Those are not online, but if you would want to get them, there's an MP3 that Wayne has made. We could get you that with all the studies. And the studies that we're looking at today are from that. And I just put the eschatology at the top. And you might ask, well, how can we cover this much material in this amount of time? That's a good question. We're going to try, though. And the reason we can do it is because it's mostly printed out for you. You don't have to turn to too many passages this time. Now, remember where we've been in the subject of eschatology. We looked at the rapture. That's an imminent hope. Jesus is coming back for the church. We looked at the subject of the tribulation. That's imminent, too. As soon as the church is taken out, the universal judgment will come. And then we looked at the second advent of Christ and last time, and that entails Jesus coming back to the earth with power and great glory, and when he will establish his kingdom. Now, we studied the kingdom under dispensationalism, but that would be the next in the chronology there. And at the end of the kingdom, we saw the judgment of the great white throne. In fact, we studied last time, didn't we, all the judgments of God, including the judgment of the great white throne. Well, after the judgment of the great white throne, actually even prior to that, you have the destruction of the present heaven and earth. So that's what we're looking at first. And then the creation of new heavens and a new earth. So the present order is all going to be burned by fire. And the things that we see will be dissolved, as the Bible puts it. Now, again, most of this is quoted here. And then notice in the sheet, the new heaven and the new earth, you have the destruction of the present heaven and earth. And then applications of faith for the above references. What I'm going to do is read number one under A and then number one under B. It's a continuation of the same passage, which shows you the application. So we'll expedite that way a little bit. So God, again, he'll create a new heaven and a new earth, at which time the first heaven, the first earth, will pass away. Okay? The heaven and earth shall pass away down below, but my word shall not pass away. God's word is eternal. You know this book you have in your hand? I'm assuming you got one in your hand. It'll never pass away, but heaven and earth will pass away. Number two, they shall perish. They wax old like a garment, as a vesture, thou shalt change them, and they shall be changed. Okay, contrast, number two under B. But thou shalt endure, but thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. Psalm 102. God is eternal and immutable as well as his children. So again, the thought of perishing, waxing old, changing, but God is the same, and we will remain eternally with Him as believers. Number three, all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heaven shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down, that would be the stars, as the leaf falleth from the vine. Number three below, for my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea. Now, God will righteously judge heaven and earth. We saw in our judgments, in the judgments last time in our study, that they're righteous judgments according to truth. That would be true with this as well. And number four, the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment. Four below, but my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. God's salvation is eternal. And so, again, heavens and the earth are going to be destroyed, but God is eternal, and God's salvation is eternal. Number five, they shall perish, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. Now, that's a quote of Psalm 102. Verse number four, number five below, but thou remainest, thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail, referring to Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is immutable. Hebrews 13:8 says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's eternal. That's why our salvation is eternal. He ever lives to make intercession for us. And so his salvation is eternal. God is eternal. Number six, the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment. Notice that fire emphasized. Number six below, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. By the way, let me interject here. Why hasn't it happened yet? Because of this. Because God's long-suffering. He had none to perish. That's his heart, compassion. So God has his timetable, but will be faithful to his word. Now, you know God, he's the I Am. He's not subject to time. He sees it all in a glance. We see it like a parade going by, you know, one thing at a time. And so he's going to accomplish this just in the right time. God is long-suffering for the sake of the salvation of souls. Number seven, the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now, this isn't global warming, no. This is judgment from God. This is complete. Number seven below. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. Application. What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation or living and godliness? We're to live holy lives and godly lives in the light of the destruction of the present order. Another application might be, don't set your affection on anything here because it's all going to burn. And then number eight above, the heavens shall, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Did you ever notice the volcanoes? Steve had some pictures. We're in Hawaii. And it's amazing. You know what that stuff is? Molten rock. I'm not sure what the temperature is, but that's amazing heat. And so this will be even more so, no doubt. And God will burn it all up. Number eight below, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, we're to look forward to the Lord's coming when God will intervene in the history of man. By the way, this is the culmination of the day of the Lord when he'll do this, right? And he'll make the new heavens and the new earth. So people, the scoffers and the mockers of the last day, 2 Peter 3, they say, where is the promise of his coming? They're willfully ignorant, right? God universally judged the world with a flood. He's going to judge it by fire the next time. And then number nine above, the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, number nine below, small and great, stand before God. and all will be resurrected and judged before God, even those not found written in the book of life. Of course, that's a judgment of the great white throne, the unsaved. So, it's coming. There's a destruction of the present order. Now, you consider, why would this be? Well, creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected the same in hope. Man was made, given dominion over the earth, and man sinned, and therefore creation fell too. That's why you got the little spider, you know, that gets the wasp in his web and eats it. You know, it's a fallen world, even in the created order. But when God makes things anew, he's totally going to purge that. And there'll be no sin in the new order. Okay, let's get to the good part here. Next page, the new heaven and new earth. God's creation of the new heaven and earth will follow the great white throne judgment, putting down of all evil. And we read that, 21:1. Then characteristics of the new heaven and earth. Again, this is quoted here for the most part. Number one, the former troubles are forgotten because they are hidden from mine eyes. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Isaiah 65. Now that's amazing. We're looking at the characteristics now of the new heaven and new earth. Then remember the passage, I want to read it again, 21:1 of Revelation. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven, the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Notice this, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, though. And that's what we're looking at. So this is new. And the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Past trials and afflictions will be forgotten. Be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. Isaiah 65:18. Eternal gladness and rejoicing will be our portion. There'll be no sorrow. There'll be no mixing of sorrow or pain. No, it'll all be good. For that's why, you know, Paul said, I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. If we could just see how great it'll be in that eternal existence. I mean, this isn't too bad here, you know. God created this place and it's fallen. Well, how glorious it's going to be, as we're going to see the curse is lifted and be no corruption, be no sin. Number two. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. As the new heaven and earth will remain, so will God's people remain. So, the second characteristic we see is it's eternal. This is it. This is the final creation of God. We will witness it. Number three, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So only righteousness will exist in the new heaven and earth. No sin will enter in. Let me read Revelation 21:27. It says, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh the abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So righteousness, it'll be perfect. It'll socially be perfect. And then number four, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Now this is wonderful. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now, I want to read that passage because there's a little more there. Verse 3, it says, I heard, maybe it's verse 2 I want. Yes, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. You think a husband wants to provide a nice place for the bride, okay? Jesus is the husband. He's the bridegroom. We're the bride. And so, and God wants to dwell with man. It's amazing when you consider God created man in his image. God wants to fellowship with man. He created man for his glory. And man's chief end is to glorify God, enjoy him forever. So that's going to be he's going to be our portion. And in this place that he's prepared, which we're going to see next, this holy city. Now God shall eternally dwell with his people. There was a previous study on our relationship with God under the subject of heaven that's referred to there. And then number five, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away, Revelation 21:4. When you think about sin and the fall, sin has caused death and pain and sorrow, right? So you take that away, there will be no death or pain or sorrow. Okay, verse number, also all pain, sorrow, and death will be eliminated. Verse number six, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. God will create a universe without sin and corruption and existence with perfect fellowship and harmony with God and man. He's going to start afresh. And then number seven, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. This is part of it. God's people will inherit all things as co-heirs with Christ. And so that's the new heaven and the new earth. Now, let's notice a few applications here at the bottom of your second sheet. These prophetic scriptures regarding the destruction and recreation of heaven and earth should cause a believer to trust in the immutable and eternal God and His Word. That's in the context of He doesn't change, Hebrews 6, to trust and then rest in our eternal and secure salvation, right? I give them into the eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So, when we look at this life, or we look at ourselves, no, we're not immutable. That's a shaky deal. But you look at God, ooh, He's the same. And His new creation's the same. And it is eternal, and we're eternal in Him. And then look to that which is eternal and not temporal. I don't know why the printer squeezed that line there. Anticipating a new order without sin and corruption. 2 Corinthians 4, Paul said, we don't faint while we look at that which is eternal, that which is temporal, that which is seen as temporal, that which is eternal, you know, that's not seen. I'm very badly paraphrasing that. The point is, that's what you want to focus on. We want to be occupied with the eternal. There's a reason God has revealed these things to us, brethren, that we might have them in our mind's eye, that we might be living for eternity, that we might set our affections on the things above. We are God's children, and we have a heavenly home. And so, and it'll be without sin and corruption. And then live holy and godly lives in the light of our accountability. And that's, I can't quote those. Let's go to 2 Peter 3:11, where we'll get it more accurately here. 2 Peter 3:11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? You know, godliness is more than goodness. Godliness is where a person lives a righteous life out of devotion to the Lord. Devotion to the Lord is in that word, in the meaning of that word, godliness. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. So we ought to be motivated in that way. Verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And then lay up treasure in heaven, realizing, okay, this life and any investments here, sure, we're to be good stewards, but that's all temporal. And to lay up treasure in heaven, now that's eternal. So that's the destruction of heaven and earth, creation of the new heavens and the new earth. And then the holy city. Now this is like the diamond in the ring here, the holy city. Now first you've got this new heaven, new earth, righteousness, holiness, no corruption, the curse is lifted. But now we've got this place. And this is a glorious thing. And you can't comprehend it fully, But we want to try, right? We want to have a certain conception of this, because if you were with us in the study on heaven, you might remember the illustration of if a person is going to move to New Zealand, okay, well, you sell your house and you give away your furniture, whatever, and then you get everything ready to move. You're packed up. You're ready to go. What's missing? You don't know anything about your new home. So you'd want to do some research, wouldn't you? You'd want to know everything you could about it. This is it. We have a new home. It's a city. And now Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions, many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." So that's what we're talking about. And his Father's house, in which there's many mansions, now that is no exaggeration. This place of which Jesus spoke is undoubtedly the holy city, the New Jerusalem, which will be our eternal abode with God. Now, the holy city was looked for by Old Testament and New Testament saints. Referring to Abraham, Hebrews 11, it says, "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Now this city parallels to the description of the holy city which has foundations. I want to read some of this in Revelation 21:14, for instance. "And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. In them was the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." Verse 19, "And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. First foundation was jasper, and then sapphire, chalcedony, emerald, sardonyx, sardius, chrysolite, beryl, topaz, chrysoprasus, jacinth, amethyst." And so these, now if you want to take that literally, fine, but I believe it's speaking in words that we can understand, but no doubt superior to anything we know, because it also talks about a street of transparent gold. Now, you and I haven't seen that, but that's what it'll be. And in fact, the city itself we're going to see is very glorious. So there's the foundation. And then it says, "They that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, but now they desire a better country that is a heavenly," Hebrews 11:16. So this better heavenly country corresponds to the holy city, which is superior to anything on this earth, heavenly in origin, and vast in size. So, you know, here, you know the story of the hymn writer. He's in the country and he sees this little girl on the hillside, and there's a kind of a shack-like little house. And he begins to talk to her a little bit, and she says, "Oh, my daddy's building a mansion over on the hill." And he looks over there. There's this big house that he's building. And inspired, I can't remember, what's the name of that hymn? It has to do with having a cottage here. That's no matter, because you got a mansion over there. And that's the way it will be, this glorious place. So it's a better heavenly country, corresponds to the holy city, superior to anything on this earth, heavenly in origin and vast in size. Now, let's look at this a little bit. Revelation 21:10. "And he carried me in the spirit to a great and high mountain, showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal." And I think that's a reddish hue. And then go to verse 15, "And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof, and the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with a reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal." Now, I can't tell you exactly how many miles that is, but approximately 1,400. That would be from the Appalachian Mountains to California, from Canada down to Mexico. And very, very vast. And then we have here no continuing city, but we seek one to come. So now we're pilgrims and sojourners also, and we look for an eternal home, don't we? We have that which is to come. Okay, the holy city presently exists, and this is mostly quoted here, Hebrews 12, 22 through 24, the description of the city. But ye are come. In other words, when you die as a believer, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord, you're caught up to the third heaven, paradise, 2 Corinthians 12, where God lives. It's on his throne, and it's the throne of God and of the Lamb. Jesus is at his right hand, God the Son. And you're come to it, so it's already there. Jesus said, go to prepare a place. It's already there. And here it is. It's described. Mount Zion, mountain, refers to government, the place from which Christ will reign. City of the living God, the city will be God's eternal abode with his redeemed people. The heavenly Jerusalem, heaven is the origin and character of this city. So this city is in heaven right now. Now, where is that? Beyond the stars, apparently. And then we the inhabitants of the city. So we see a description. Mountain, government, city, the living God, he's there and it's heavenly. And then the inhabitants of the city, again, quoting Hebrews 12, an innumerable company of angels, the holy and elect angels, cherubim, living ones, and the seraphim. They cry, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, around the throne. It's an awesome thing here, picture. And the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. This is the church, the called out assembly of this age. Most of them are already in heaven, you know. Made up of Jewish and Gentile believers. He's taking out a group of people for his name. This is the body and the bride of Christ, whose names are written, registered in heaven, the Lamb's Book of Life. So if you're a believer today, you're on the list, right? If you're not, you want to get on the list. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust his sacrificial death for your sins and resurrection. And God, the judge of all, we will be in the presence of God the Father, who is the judge. Now he's committed all judgment to the Son, John 5. The spirits of just men made perfect. These are the Old Testament saints. Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. Genesis 15:6, for instance. And then Jesus, he's there, the mediator of the new covenant. And quoting Hebrews, but that refers to Matthew 26:28, where he instituted that. And the blood of sprinkling has to do with the application of his blood by faith. You've got to have your faith in the blood, right? That was sufficient. That is sufficient to take away your sins. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. No other salvation. Are you washed in the blood? Now that's the question. Has it been applied? So that's the holy city. Now it's described. I didn't realize, we got a lot more to go here. Hold on for the ride. Now the holy city is described here. John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride for her husband. So the city will be heavenly in origin and is the place specially prepared for the Lord's bride. Now you know that would be quite special to the Lord and will be to his people. He carried me in the spirit to a great mountain and high mountain. Now this is on the new earth. There's a very great and high mountain on the earth. And showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descend out of heaven from God. So apparently the city will come down on top of this huge mountain. Now remember, we're not talking about the kingdom, the millennium. Actually, it is referred to as the kingdom, which is extended for eternity. But you remember Jesus said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven descends to the earth, and that'll be our abode. We'll be in. This is our place, and we'll be reigning with Christ too. Having the glory of God, and her light was like a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. So apparently it's clear. The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. For there should be no night there. There shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. They shall reign forever and ever. So the glory and majesty of God will be manifest. Now this is amazing. Again, you can't fathom it, but jasper, you got the reddish hue. There's no night there. The glory of God lights this place. His throne's right in the middle of this thing. And this place. which we'll see. Now, verse number D. And had a great wall and high and 12 gates. At the gates, 12 angels, names written on the gates, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. There will be no threat of danger, for all evil has been put down. Now, it says the gates are made out of, as it were, one pearl. And you've heard, people talk about the pearly gates. That's right. But again, better than anything we can comprehend, an angel there at each one. And then, E, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations. We saw that. And then the name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, Christ, and the apostles are the foundation of the church. It's immense in size. We read that. 2 million square miles at its base. It's a cube in shape. And that corresponds to the holiest place, by the way, which is 20 cubits, by 20 cubits by 20 cubits. And so this is where God is. It's a cube. And you think about the capacity of this place for inhabitants. That's amazing when you're going up as far as you're going out. And then... the wall of the city had 12 foundations. We read that. Superior materials, magnificent architecture, 21:18. Let's see, did we read this? And the building of it was of jasper. The city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of stones. We read that. So superior materials, amazing architecture. And then I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. So, now this is very significant, brethren. Worship of God will be a part of all life. Now some will say, an unregenerate person might say, well, what would we do in heaven? Why would I want to be there? Well, if you don't know God, you wouldn't. And also, will it be a 24/7 worship service? You answer that. Everything will be worshiped. It won't be a 24/7 worship service. So there'll be activity and service. Revelation 22 says we will serve him. So we'll have access to earth, as we'll see. And then those admitted, the nations of them which are saved, the gates, in other words, Gentiles, the gates shall not be shut. There shall be no wise enter into anything that defileth. No sin here. The new paradise of God. Now this is very significant in my mind. If I would think of a paradise, I wouldn't think of some sterile city, right? But I would think of, you got streams and waterfalls and lush grass and like the Garden of Eden, you know. That's it. That's what's in the middle of this city at God's throne. And I don't want to speak irreverently, but it's like a glorified park. And what's the garden? It is Eden. Pure, notice here, a pure river of water of life, as clear as crystal, proceedeth out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 kinds of fruit and yielded her fruit every month. So the tree of life will sustain physical life eternally. We will be resurrected. We will have glorified bodies, likened to Jesus' glorious body. This is a physical place. And then there shall be no more curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. But notice, you know where you had the tree of life, like it was in Eden, and it's called a paradise, right? 2 Corinthians 12, that's it. I believe it's the paradise, the Garden of Eden. And there shall be no more curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. His servants shall serve him. They shall see his face. His name shall be in their foreheads. Verse 5 of that chapter says, we'll reign with him. That's another study. Now, how glorious will be the place that Jesus has prepared for us as believers. This will be the paradise where God will dwell with us in the closest of relationships, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. How we should look forward to this holy city, which will be our eternal abode, of which we are presently citizens. Now, you might think, well, what about the earth? And remember, there's gates. You can go in, you can go out. And we've got 10 minutes to consider the new earth here. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. So So greater capacity for inhabitants. The place of our abode will be the holy city, the place that Jesus has prepared. The great city, which will be relocated on the new earth on a high and great mountain. We will have access to the new earth, speaking of the gates, which will be delivered from the curse. The new earth will be delivered from the curse and have a glorious liberty coinciding with the manifestation of the sons of God. Coincides to the resurrection. It's the earth will be, you could say, resurrected. The new earth characteristics will have only righteousness dwelling in it. All sin will have been judged and put away. All men will be without sin and will be holy. There should be no more curse. This passage refers to heaven, but also the universe of the new creation. The earth and all creation shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Again, when man fell, creation fell. When man is regenerated and then resurrected, creation is as well. In fact, it uses the word regeneration for the earth. And this deliverance is in connection with the resurrection of God's people and therefore can be described as a resurrection of the earth. Even in the millennial kingdom in which Christ reigns upon the earth from Jerusalem, the curse will have been lifted. You see that in Isaiah. And that's, you know, the miracles Jesus did corresponded to that. He basically eliminated sickness or death wherever he was. And then number C, the present earth shall be destroyed by fire. Yet scriptures indicate the earth will abide forever. Psalm 78:69. The new earth, as well as heaven, which will be transformed, will be eternal. The new earth is described in such terms as regeneration. Greek word, we'll try to pronounce that, meaning a new birth, renewal, recreation, also used of the believer. That's interesting, isn't it? You see how the earth and the heaven are connected with man who's redeemed. Restitution of all things, another Greek word, meaning restoration to a former state. The new earth apparently will be restored to its condition before the fall. Even in the kingdom, Eden is referred to as the earth's condition. I'm sorry we can't presently look these up, but you're welcome, you know, to research this more. The new earth, new heaven, and new earth, the Greek word, meaning new as opposed to old, but also new in quality and superior in character. So it isn't just that it's new. You know, you might drive a Acura Legend, is it called? And then you get a new car. Get a Chevy, nothing against Chevys here. Get a Chevy, what's a cheap one? I don't know what a cheap one is today. It used to be a Cavalier, okay? It's new, but it isn't as good. No, this will be new and better. And we're made of new creation in Christ Jesus. So as a believer, is the same person, only better. So the new heaven and earth will be the same, only better. Our resurrection bodies also will be the same bodies, only changed. The process of metamorphosis of the butterfly may illustrate the transformation of the earth as the caterpillar is changed into a butterfly. The same creature, only changed and superior to the old. God's redemptive plan includes not only man, but also creation. Pretty amazing, isn't it? You know, there's this thought that heaven is, what's the word, ethereal. And it's floating out on a cloud somewhere. And it isn't real, and there's no substance to it. Nirvana, whatever. No, it's real. Heaven, earth, physical places. Most glorious, though, transformed totally by God. The letter F, the word translated earth, Greek word, is the word from which we get geology. It is used of land, soil, and the world itself. The word denotes physicality, not figurative expression. What we presently know of earth is having fields, mountains, woodlands, rivers, lakes, waterfalls, flowers, wildlife, etc. will no doubt still exist, only in a far more superior and glorious state, without corruption in the new creation. God giveth us richly all things to enjoy. I remember Pastor Black, years ago, he sent us pictures or brought pictures. He ministered in Copiapó, northern Chile, which is desert. But maybe about every 50 years it rains. And when it does, the desert's full of flowers. Just little seeds are in there. And so what's the kingdom going to be like? And then what's the eternal new heaven and earth going to be like? Letter G. The new earth will have no sea, will therefore have a much greater capacity for habitation. It will also have cities, as indicated in the parable of the pounds. Now that might be one reason we're reigning with Christ. If you're faithful over little, then in this life, you'll be ruler over much in the next, because the church is going to reign with Christ. Our relationship to the new earth, though we are citizens of heaven and are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, we will certainly have access to the earth, referring to the gates there. We will also reign with Christ and be associated with him in his throne. So how glorious will the newly created earth be, in which will dwell righteousness and have the absence of corruption. Truly God has wonderful blessings in store for his redeemed people. So if you get a little discouraged down here in this old earth, and you get a little weary, or you get sick, whatever, take heart. There's a resurrection, not of just you and I, but of this earth. There's a place he's preparing. It's most glorious. Far transcends what we can comprehend, but he has given us revelation here that we might conceptualize this. This is the place we're going to live. This is what we want to live for. He's given us the opportunity here to suffer with him, right? Be identified with him. Preach the gospel here. We suffer, we shall reign with him. So that's the conclusion of our theology study for your course. We hope that you've enjoyed it. And again, if you've missed anything, everything is online. And that's a complete set back there in that shelf. If you want a whole set, we can run it. Or if you're just missing a few, you can borrow those to fill in the gaps. But very important, isn't it, to know theology. And I wouldn't want to take away, if you want to study firsthand, Systematic Theology by Chafer. There's a statement in the beginning of our study that said this is mostly from Chafer. In doing it, I did go extensively into Dr. Roland McCune, too, more than what I thought I would. I didn't realize how good his writings were. And so, may God bless us to be established in doctrine. Father, how we do thank thee for thy word and the blessing of it. We thank thee for what you've revealed about things to come. We thank thee for the heavenly abode that we look forward to. We know thy word is settled in the heavens. This heaven and earth will pass away. Thy word will never pass away. So we know these things will come to pass. We look forward to it. As you have your timetable, we look forward to Jesus coming. And we thank thee for the future that you have given us as thy people. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.